Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars, and, of course, see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites as well.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and you want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 877-4 Condo Craze, and you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we spoke about even more condo and HOA laws that are being challenged in our courts, the fact that the pace of foreclosure cases continue to slow down, and whether or not lawyers are even able to criticize our court system and the current mess we find ourselves in.
Absolutely, Karen. Great show last week. Lots of great calls, too, from so many of our listeners. No doubt that the frustration continues to mount as the foreclosure crisis drags the court system down and along with it our housing market. There's still a lot of confusion out there and debate among attorneys who practice in this area about just how far-reaching the Cohn decision actually is. And a quick update on the case, despite my arguments that condos and HOAs are now potentially all governed by different statutes depending upon when that community was built, and whether or not the original documents contain that future amendment clause, the Florida Supreme Court denied my motion for a rehearing this week. So that really puts this case to bed officially, and now let the fun begin.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the opinion of this show for all those communities out there that don't have the language in their documents that automatically adopt future amendments. They better try and find the Florida statutes that were in effect when your community was created, because that is the statutory scheme that regulates you according to the Florida Supreme Court. If any law comes into effect after your community is created and it affects the contract rights of the people that live there or, I guess, the association, and it conflicts with your original documents and alters the right of either the association or a unit under those documents, that law should not apply to your community.
Yeah. Well, I understand, though, that we have a very special guest with us on the phone today who's going to give us his view on the current state of our community associations in Florida, talk about some new laws that he helped get passed, and tell us where he thinks Florida is headed.
That's right, Karen. Today we're lucky enough to have with us Senator Mike Fasano, a Republican senator from Newport Richey, Florida. Senator Fasano was elected to the Senate originally in 2002 and reelected subsequently ever since. He served as the president pro tem from 2008 to 2010, the majority whip from 2006 through 2008, and served as a member of Florida's House of Representatives from 1994 to 2002, actually serving as the majority leader from 2000 to 2001. Senator Fasano, welcome, and thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Good afternoon. Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me, and great job to both of you. I'll tell you, I live in a homeowners association. I don't live in a condominium association, a condo association, but I can appreciate what you and your law firm and others are having to deal with on a daily basis. We get many calls in our district office here, in our Senate office, almost, like I say, almost daily from people who live in associations and HOAs and are asking many questions as to what their rights are and with the changes of the law. So thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're kind of asked all the time, how can you do this day in and day out? And our answer is, I guess somebody has to do it, right?
Yes.
Somebody has to deal with all the craziness. But I just want to remind our listeners that Senator Fasano has graciously agreed to take your calls and answer your questions. And today really would be a great time to ask a state senator who's responsible for many of your new condo and HOA laws questions not only about condos and HOAs, but maybe real estate or economy and whatever else is on your mind.
Sure.
So again, give us a call at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Senator Fasano, before we get into some of the new condo and HOA laws that you helped get passed this legislative session, I really would love to know how you feel about the recent Supreme Court decision in the Cohn versus Grant case. And just to refresh your memory and our listeners, again, in that case, the Florida legislature passed a law that allowed the residential owners in a mixed-use condo to elect a majority of the board when those residents outnumber the commercial owners, even if the bylaws said otherwise. But the Supreme Court of Florida said the law was unconstitutional because it changed the contract, which was the Declaration of Condominium. And I argued, as you know, to the Florida legislature, of which, of course, you're a member, that you guys had the inherent power to make laws that help promote the health, safety, and welfare of millions of our citizens that live in community associations in Florida. But the Supreme Court said that if condos and HOAs don't have that magic language in their governing documents that automatically adopts these new laws, then the legislature's kind of wasting its time because they don't apply to condos and HOAs because they're locked into the statutes that were in existence when they were created. You know, what's your take on the decision?
Well, first, let me start off by telling you I'm not an attorney. I dropped out of high school when I was 15 years old when my dad passed away with my mom and I, so I had to quit school to go to work and didn't get my GED till I'm 28 years old. So I'm going to do my best to give an explanation what I believe the legislature is going to have to deal with now. And one is I appreciate the question. Two, I appreciate your doing your best as an advocate on behalf of the associations. In regards to the Cohn versus Grant decision, talking to my colleagues, talking to those in Tallahassee, most of us expected the result that came out of the Supreme Court. There is a difference between the procedural rule like voting procedures, notice requirements, and new enforcement options for existing document provisions and the law. This case involved, I understand, a change to a voting privilege granted in the contract.
Right.
And as we all know, is a vested right protected under Florida statute, and I believe that's 718. I really don't believe, though, as I talk to my colleagues and the experts in Tallahassee, that this creates a big impediment to the legislature for adding additional protections such as board education requirements, improved notice requirements, law, new enforcement techniques that we've been dealing with for years. It does, however, and some would say sadly, hold that the legislature cannot take away a vested contract right from an owner who received that in consideration many years ago.
Right. I guess, you know, we're going to get into that a little bit, but I guess it's our position on the show that the actual decision goes a lot farther than some attorneys are actually giving it credit for, because it's pretty clear in the state of Florida that laws that come out by the legislature are meant to apply prospectively, meaning into the future.
Yes.
And actually,
yes,
only one law in the history of 718 was actually described and meant by the legislature to apply retroactively. Only one, and that was the law in the Cohn case, 718-404. This legislature specifically said it's to apply retroactively. So, and that was the one that was declared unconstitutional. So at least we take the position on the show that obviously if only one law in the history of the legislature as to condominiums said that it's to apply retroactively, then all the rest of them are to apply prospectively. So we believe that, again, to be pretty tough. But just so you know, we had former House member Julio Robina, who's a Republican, on the show, and we also met with former House member Elaine Bloom, who's a Democrat. And each of them respectfully, vehemently disagreed with the Florida Supreme Court decision, and they were of the opinion that the power of the legislature to protect the citizens that live in condos has, in fact, been seriously hampered by the court. But I guess you don't see it that way.
And again, I'm not a constitutional expert. I would never challenge the Supreme Court because I'm not a savvy attorney, someone who may have the arguments that could challenge what their decision is. It is something that we have to respect. It is something that we have to take into account as we develop and create new laws.
Sure. Do you feel that there's kind of a power struggle going on currently between the Supreme Court and the legislature? Of course, the court wants more funding.
When isn't there a power struggle between the Florida legislature and the Supreme Court, or any legislative branch, or any of the other branches of government, whether it be the executive branch or the judicial branch? We just have to respect what they do and go by their decision. And although we may not agree with it, we certainly have to abide by it.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, let's go over some of the provisions that were just passed regarding Senate Bill 530 that you sponsored. There was always confusion about whether or not a condo or an HOA could take some of the rent or all of the rent from the tenant of a delinquent owner. And your bill now made it clear that the association can now take all of the rent from the tenant of a delinquent owner. But this past month, coincidentally, a lawsuit was filed in the United States District Court challenging the constitutionality of this law because the landlord loses their right to collect the rent without any due process first whatsoever. Are you also concerned somewhat about this law being declared unconstitutional? You know, what's your take among the legislators at this point?
Is in regards to the levy on the rent. There is some concerns that the levy or the rents may be consistent with the Fair Debt Collection, from what I understand, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and might not, in regards to due process, was not afforded to the unit owner. In the long term, the federal court may answer these questions. And again, we're going to have to wait and see. But in the short term, I think it is a good tool. I truly believe I would strongly recommend any association using this tool to do so with the advice of their association attorney, and I'm sure that's what you advise to your clients as well. This is something that came to us by many of the associations over a period of time in regards to we have homeowners, if you will, that are delinquent, and they're renting out their condo.
Oh, no question about it. It's unconscionable, you know, no two ways about it.
It is absolutely unconscionable to think that the owner of the condo that is delinquent in their maintenance fees or their dues and yet they're renting out their condo, their facility, and that person using that facility is using all the amenities in that condo while all of the other homeowners are up to date. In fact, are probably seeing increased maintenance dues because of those who are not paying them on time.
I think we all agree.
And that is why, this probably, as it is challenged, while there are, some mistakes made, dealing with the challenges that we may have made, we're hearing from around Florida that it's working in the vast majority of cases. And it's been very, very helpful as a new tool in collecting delinquent assessments.
I think we all agree that it's a very useful tool. But the thing that differentiates the case that's been brought by another firm on this law is that it not only violates certain contractual rights of a unit owner, but it also violates the due process rights under both the Florida Constitution and the federal Constitution. Mm-hmm. But I just want to let Eric know, when I was listening to Senator Fasano when he first spoke about the effects of the Cohn case, I think he's more on the same page as us than we think, because he was speaking with respect to it not violating process rules like notice requirements, teaching requirements. It only affects a vested interest. And I think the debate's going to be, what is a vested interest? I guess the court has ruled specifically that a vested interest, you have one in your voting rights. But in the case that's before the courts right now, I guess the federal courts, we're going to find out if you have a vested interest in your property rights with respect to the common elements of the condominium. And I would make the argument that you do. Right. And if that is the case, I think the decision in Cohn will be far more reaching than we think.
A lot's going to be told probably within the next year or so. But let's do this. Let's take our first break. Again, Senator Fasano and us here at Condo Craze and HOAs are taking your calls. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazier and Scott Shapiro. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We do have State Senator Mike Fasano on the phone with us, and we are taking your phone calls as well. We have Val on line one. Val, you have a question for the senator?
Yes. My question has to do indirectly with HOAs speaking at meetings. I think it's a great thing now that owners can speak at HOA meetings. Unfortunately, if the board don't hold meetings, that's not too cool. If they can decide to conduct business in the closet, as you say. Currently, HOA owners have really no place to turn to if the attorney, the CAM, and the board decides to hijack the association. And really, enforcement, you know, should not be the responsibility or the burden shouldn't fall on owners. So my question to the senator is basically this. Does he believe that owners should have to spend their lifetime savings to bring boards into compliance to follow the law? And if he doesn't believe that that's our job, but rather the state's job, what does he plan to do about it?
Good question, Nerval. Senator,
may I ask the caller? Is he a member of an HOA? Does he live
yes.
in a condominium association?
I believe he said he was a member of an HOA.
I'm an HOA member. Yes.
Yes, sir. One of the things that and we may talk about it later. One of the things that is extremely difficult to legislate is statutes that deal with the many, many HOAs we have in the state. Very difficult to have any entity at the government level to oversee them because of there are so many of them, first of all. But to answer your question, of course, everyone should have the right to speak at any meeting that is called by the board members too. The board members should be calling meetings. I'm quite surprised that there's nothing in their bylaws and their constitution that requires them to have so many meetings.
It's all in
every
there.
Year. And I will tell you this, as I tell, we get so many calls from people with questions, concerns, and people that are just outraged with their board and their association. And there's very little the legislature can do. There's very little I can do right there and then. But what I do tell them and encourage them is, just like myself, if I don't do a good job, the voters have the option and opportunity to vote me out of office. And I always encourage those that call me, if they're unhappy with their board members, they can do exactly the same thing, and that is to vote them out of the next election and put people in there that will be more responsive and more responsible.
Well, yeah, now you do have the ability to recall members of the board in a homeowners association as well, just like they did in the condo statute. That's something that was
right.
basically mirrored. But, you know, there's no question about it. I think that a gentleman raises a good point. Over the years, there's been less of an effort, far less of an effort, quite frankly, to regulate homeowners associations as opposed to condominium associations. And as a matter of fact, something that I actually wanted to discuss during the show, the earlier bills that were filed, I believe, in both the House and the Senate this year, contained provisions that would have required homeowners associations to basically adopt the election rules that were contained in the condominium statutes. And I can tell you, for a lot of practicing attorneys, we all thought that that was a great idea, and a lot of our callers thought it was a great idea, too, because we find that a lot of the HOA election procedures are kind of archaic, and it allows for the same board to kind of roll over year after year. How come that kind of died somewhere along the way?
Something like that dies along the way because of how controversial it becomes when you're dealing with HOAs. Whenever you have, and there have been, and Julio Urbano, who you had on, as you spoke about earlier, will tell you the same. When you start dealing with legislation that will deal with all of the HOAs throughout the state of Florida, then everyone wants to get involved. Everyone has, of course, an opinion, and that's great, but it becomes very, very controversial.
Right.
What we tried to do this year was to, you know, we passed and you're speaking about it today on your show, and I'm sure you have for quite a while. a comprehensive bill last year. This year, as we work with some of the boards and others, law firms, we try to do a glitch bill this year that took care of some of the problems or situations that came up because of the bill we passed last year, and trying to close whether it be loopholes or deal with issues that we were, you know, didn't think would come up at the time, but they did. And so when you have, when you want to make a major change like this, it becomes very controversial. And the one thing that we did not want to do was to kill a good bill. And this is something that could be dealt with as an individual item in the next upcoming session.
Right. Senator, I know that you only have about a half hour with us today, and time's running short before we go to our first break.
I can continue on if you'd like.
Oh, if you'd like, we'd be honored to have you. And
sure, that'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then on that event, how about we go to William from Port Charlotte?
Thank you.
How are you, William?
Senator, I have two questions for you. First question is, why homeowners associations are not state regulated, and to what degrees your quite vague statute 720 it's applicable if it's not controlled or from the state? And my second question is, do the fact that there are severe difficulties in homeowners association, and some of us believe that members of the assembly and some bureaucrats and some attorneys are contributing to tactics of possible dictatorial manipulation.
Let's do this, gentlemen.
What is your feeling about this?
Okay, how about we got to get to our midway break, unfortunately, but I guess the senator will think about the answer to that question during the break, and he's been kind enough to say that he'll stay with us for a little while longer. We appreciate that, Senator Fasano. Taking your calls for Senator Fasano and for us at the show, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFDL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. And we do have State Senator Mike Fasano on the line. He's a Republican, and we've taken your phone calls as well. For the Senator, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Okay, Senator Fasano, I think before we went to the break, William was basically, I guess, kind of complaining that HOAs probably need a little more regulation. And I know you've been telling us how difficult it is sometimes to get consent among the legislature in that regard. But I can tell you, at least there seems to be some consensus out there that a little more regulation wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. What's your take?
Well, to me, it's a logistical problem. There are so many HOAs throughout the state of Florida. In fact, there are many we don't even know about. I live in an area here in West Pasco that HOAs were created 30, 40, 50 years ago, and we don't even know if they truly exist anymore. And some of the older associations are not in existence, and their clubhouses have been taken over by, you know, other nonprofit organizations.
Right.
I just think it's extremely difficult to try to logistically to come up with laws or an entity. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, we have a division of condominiums in Tallahassee. Why don't we have something that also regulates HOAs as well? Talk about the cost factor.
Right.
Talk about trying to keep track of every HOA in the state of Florida. I think it would be a nightmare.
Well, as long as we're on that topic, I guess early on in the legislative session, there was a proposed bill. I think it was from Representative Bovo, who attempted at least to try to actually do away with the Florida Division of Condominiums. It would have basically completely deregulated condominiums. What was your take? What was your position on the filing of that bill?
Well, as you know, the Florida Senate and myself would never accept anything like that. In fact, that bill, if you recall, grew. The Florida House grew that bill to do away with a lot of of regulations. It did away with very important consumer protections. You know, doing away with with the regulation of those who are auto mechanics, doing away with the regulation for those who telemarketers.
Right.
Could you see how many of our consumers and especially our seniors would be put at risk if we were to deregulate? I think deregulating or doing away with the division of condominiums in Tallahassee would have, I think, been detrimental to what I think is truly working in the state of Florida and the good work that has been put in over the years.
Absolutely.
To make certain that that our condo associations have protection.
Sure, and that's certainly the position that we took on the show. We were glad to see that bill die. I can tell you, Senator, be flattered. The lines are lit up. People want to talk to you. So how about we take Debbie from Boca?
Hi, Senator. I was wondering why the laws are different between a condo association and a homeowners association if a board member is delinquent. Why the homeowners association still can have the board member as a director, and a condo association, they're automatically considered terminated.
And Debbie, I thank you for the question. I don't know the answer to that. Certainly, I would like to look into it and find out why that is. I can only tell you, and I apologize for being repetitious, but it comes down to the differences between HOAs and condos. And again, HOAs are extremely difficult to, as far as getting legislation passed, to come up with something that can be agreed to by everyone. And as we spoke about earlier. Especially with HOAs, HOAs takes on all kinds of sizes and forms that are more diverse than condos, and the one size fits all approach doesn't work with HOAs because it's so difficult to find out how many HOAs we have in the state. I have great concerns if we start requiring them to do certain things and we cannot have any oversight to make certain it happens, then we're not doing our job in Tallahassee.
Yeah, from what I understand right now, we really can't even get an accurate count as to how many HOAs there actually are in the state. And there was some debate as to whether or not on the renewal form each year that you file with the Secretary of State, maybe we should have a little box to check off as to whether or not you're actually an HOA or
not. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but I think that kind of died too.
Well, and exactly. We have, like I said earlier, we have HOAs here in Pasco County, especially in West Pasco, communities that were built 40 and 50 years ago. Many of the HOAs probably never renewed. Their constitution and bylaws have just expired from many years ago. And do they truly exist under Florida statute?
Good question.
And how would they get themselves reorganized?
Very true, because a lot of our callers are actually surprised to learn every now and then that if your covenants are not reviewed after 30 years, guess what? They're gone and they don't exist. And people find that out and they like completely freak out. So we understand where you're coming from. But we got to move on to our next caller. So how about we go to online 10, Debbie from Lake Worth. Debbie?
Oh.
Debbie, you there?
How about Philip from Boca?
Okay, how about Philip from Boca?
Yes, my name is Philip from Boca. I'm a tenant, an unknown tenant, in a condominium that has been foreclosed and taken over by the bank. So now I want to know, I got from the court saying that it was taken over by the bank. Is that my 90-day notice to leave, or do I have to get personally a letter from the bank?
Wow.
And just one more second, please. Now I got a thing on my door saying that there's an eviction in progress. Do I call the realtor and ask him about that, or do I just leave it alone?
Seems to be a lot going on, but the way you started out the question leads me to believe that the house is in foreclosure and you were named as a defendant in the foreclosure case. And what that means is the bank's going to eventually wind up owning that unit probably.
They own it.
Bank got it already. So now you've actually being foreclosed on. You're actually being evicted. I'm sorry. You're being evicted now by the bank because the bank has a title.
Is Phil a...
All right, so let me just
render?
Ask you one more question. When I get the eviction notice, how long do I have to leave?
If you don't, I don't know what type of notice they put on your door.
Well, I just got a notice from like a realtor saying that I should call them because eviction is in progress from a realtor.
Typically, that's what's called a three-day notice that's posted, meaning you know, you have to come up and pay the rent within 3 days, but you probably don't have any contract with the bank. But if you don't work it out while they're at least tempting to sell it, yeah, they're going to be able to get an eviction against you. There's actually a really interesting unfortunate story on the front page of today's Sun Sentinel about a woman here in Broward County who finds herself in the same position as you. Unfortunately, though, I think it's a two-year-old, was diagnosed with cancer, and she had to quit her job in order to take care of her child. And the bank has graciously agreed to give her another couple of months or so to try to figure things out. But, yeah, that's the position a lot of renters are actually finding themselves in today. But if you can work something out with the bank and pay the bank some money while they're trying to sell it, that's probably a good idea.
Well, I do pay for the association.
Phil, I would encourage you to the same.
I pay the association fees.
Phil, let's hear what Senator Fasano got to say.
Sorry. I was just going to suggest to Phil to do exactly what Eric is suggesting to you. We've heard the same situations, and I will tell you those who represent the banks and the mortgage companies in Tallahassee have said that there are many banks, many lenders, that the renter can go to them and they'll work something out. Certainly, the banks would like to get something out of that foreclosed condo than get nothing at all. So maybe you can work out a deal with them and continue to pay rent while they move forward with the foreclosure.
Well, I am paying. I am paying the maintenance and all that goes with that for the to the association.
Right.
But in other words, you're saying is that maybe I should. I got this thing from the realtor, I guess from the bank. Should I contact them and see what they have to say?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because the other thing is you don't want to start double paying. Once you work out an agreement with the bank to pay rent, that's all you should be paying because the bank is now the owner of the property and they should be paying assessments to the association from here on out.
Yeah, we got to move on quickly to the next call.
Thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate you listening.
How about we go to Elizabeth in Boca?
Hello there. Senator Fasano, I would like to politely and with respect confront your statement that because there are so many HOAs and it's so complicated, it's not at all possible for the legislators at Tallahassee to do anything to make it possible for the homeowners in HOAs to have a place to go for redress. I find that reprehensible and is not acceptable. The problem, as I see it, is that the attorneys and the management companies, the insurance companies, and the banks that support, that contribute and lobby in at Tallahassee don't want legislation, and this is the reason you're not coming forward with this. But you do continue to enact laws that affect homeowners and associations. So on the one hand, you're saying you can't do anything because there are just so many, it's so complicated. And on the other hand, you're saying, oh, but every year we're going to put new laws in that really take away from homeowners their property rights.
But how do you really feel, Elizabeth? No, kidding.
Yeah, don't hold back, Elizabeth. You know what? She makes a very good point. And I apologize, Elizabeth, for not giving you a more direct answer. And let me do my best. You have a very contentious issue that the legislature has tried in the past to deal with. But because it's so complicated, because it's so contentious, because you have so many sides, that it's extremely difficult to get anything passed. And I would suggest that you reach out to your legislators in your area, in the Boca area, and Broward and Palm Beach and Southeast Florida, and ask them if they would consider filing legislation. You will find that they will probably give you the same answer. You know, you're talking about HOAs. You have mandatory HOAs versus non-mandatory HOAs. Which ones are we? What ones are we going to legislate? And
sir, your answer is unacceptable. It is just unacceptable. And you know, there are many more Republicans than there are Democrats, and the Republicans are not going to go for this because the service industry has their hand in the pocket of every homeowner in an HOA.
Well, why don't we do this on that note? We're going to go to our last break. Again, Senator Fasano, thank you for staying with us for the full hour. Much appreciated. Hang in there, buddy. We got about 10 minutes to go, okay? And we'll be back right after this, taking your calls for the senator at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
wrapping up our final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We also have Senator Mike Fasano on the line. He's a state senator, Republican. He's been with us all hour, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Senator Fasano, we got about, I guess, 5 or 6 minutes left, and just want to talk about something that's a little near and dear to my heart, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
You know, I guess so far somewhat of the theme of the show has been that HOAs are not obviously heavily as regulated as condominiums are. But one thing that the condo statute does have is the certification requirement for board members. And I think, as you know, my firm has now certified about 1,100 people to serve as members of boards of directors really throughout the state. And I can tell you this education requirement is something that so many people really, truly enjoy, they benefit from. And we've also had the pleasure of having a lot of people who actually serve on HOA boards attend the course because they try to just simply to get a better understanding of how their board might work, because a lot of the provisions do mirror each other in terms of an HOA and condominiums. And I'm wondering if it's such a great idea for condominiums, perhaps it's such a good idea also for HOAs as well. And is there anything on the horizon that may require directors and officers of HOAs to take an educational course as well? I can tell you I'd be really much in favor of it. I think it's a great idea.
Well, one is I would be in favor of it as well. And education for board members, regardless of what board they may sit on, especially those on HOAs, would be an excellent idea. And we're finding that Since implementing this requirement, the feedback has been great.
Right. I can tell you it's been great on our end. Of course, we'd like to see the alternative of getting certified by filing that affidavit that says, you know, basically you've read all your documents and you're an expert. You know, it's kind of a self-serving affidavit. So we'd certainly like to see that.
I think the board member feels good about it as well, to know that they are prepared and understand the responsibilities that they have. You know, can I throw something out at those, especially to your listeners? The one person who had just called, Elizabeth from Boca, and talked about Republicans. You know, yes, I am a Republican, but this year I fought my Republican colleagues on many issues, especially one in particular that's going to have a huge impact on every homeowner, especially every condo owner in the state, and that is Senate Bill 408 that Governor Scott signed last week. That's going to allow the insurance industry, the insurance companies of the state, to raise rates just about on every condo owner, every homeowner, every mobile homeowner in the state of Florida. Something that I was saddened that passed, something that I was saddened that the governor signed into law. I couldn't help but listen to many of your commercials, especially those dealing with that want to, you know, offer insurance, and that's great. But I would encourage your listeners to be prepared. Unfortunately, because of a bill, Senate Bill 408, their homeowners insurance is going to go high, and not only high for the next year, but for years to come. And it's going to have a huge impact on the state of Florida, negative impact.
And I know, I definitely wanted to spend some time talking about that. And I guess at least the way Governor Scott is touting the new law, he believes that, I guess originally as it started out, Citizens was kind of supposed to be the insurance of last resort for our condos out here, and at least he's under the impression at the moment that by this new statute, it's going to finally bring some competition back to the industry. But I
never
guess
never happen.
Tell us why you think
it will never. Well, I will tell you that the insurance industry, the property and casualty insurance industry of this state, of this country, have been telling the legislature for years: if you do this, if you pass that, if you sign this into law, we will start writing policies again. They have made it clear they have no intentions of writing policy in the high-risk areas. And the people along the coast, in your listening area and throughout the state, in my area, will never see the private industry come back. And for anyone, especially our governor, to suggest that they want to downsize Citizens, Citizens used to be the carrier of last resort. In most places along the coast, it's the only carrier that's available to homeowners today.
Right, very true. So I guess most of the Republican Party, I believe, was on board with the governor in this regard. But I did, in fact, say, you bucked the trend, and you did, in fact, go against your own party in this regard and fought vehemently against the passage of this bill. And I can tell you
negative consequences, unfortunately.
Right. Well, again, obviously you're doing something that you think is right. I understand this is your last year in the Florida Senate. Is that correct?
I have one more term, yes, sir. One more year. So next session will be my last session. We start early next year in January versus March because of the redistricting, and we're required to start up early to get a redistricting map done for both the House, Senate, and the congressional seats.
Which is going to be a fight in and of itself, obviously, right, gearing up.
It will be. The good thing is that the people voted their conscience. They voted for two amendments, Amendments 4 and 5 in the state constitution. That requires the legislature to do it appropriately and not do it as far as gerrymandering and see some of those wild districts that we've created over the past years.
Senator, we got about a minute to go. How are we going to bring back jobs to Florida? How do we get jobs down here? And I guess that would fix up our real estate industry.
You've got to make Florida more affordable. My mom and dad brought all five of us, I'm youngest of five, down to Florida 40 years ago. In fact, we used to take vacations from New York before we eventually moved down here 40 years ago. My mom and dad would take us down to the Broward County area because my dad was a big Yankee fan when the Yankees used to have spring training.
Your dad was obviously a brilliant man. Brilliant man.
But it didn't get passed on to me. I'm a big Met fan, but a very sad Met fan right now. But the thing here is my mom and dad used to brag to our relatives in New York how cheap, how affordable Florida was.
Right.
And we've gotten away from that. I just talked about homeowners insurance. People are not going to be able to purchase homes in the States if they can't afford the insurance on
right,
the home.
Absolutely.
We need to make Florida more affordable. There's 85 million baby boomers ready to retire over the next 5 to 10 years. We need to make Florida more affordable and encourage them to come here to our beautiful state.
Senator Fasano, let me thank you so very, very much for appearing with us hour today.
Thank
really
you.
Very much appreciated, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate it as well. You're welcome back on the show anytime. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for the good work you do.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. All right. That concludes another hour of Condo Craze and
best.
HOAs. We'll see everybody next week.
We
might get the other side of the story from Sean Virtue from Smith, Watson & Parker
insurance.
In regards to insurance. Have a great week, everybody.